So I on the way out, you know, like last week you did the ukulele, right, for the theme song?
Yeah, but can I before you continue, just a quick second.
Yes.
I want to qualify. It's a ukulele I'd never played before,
All right.
and I had it in tune, but when I intonate
Yeah.
the strings, I think the saddle needs to be the bridge needs to be
Right. So it wasn't your terrible playing.
Anytime, yeah.
It was you were playing it accurately, but
exactly.
It was not playing in tune.
Yes.
Okay, well, I thought this is a great new idea. Let's put a new twist on it. And then I remembered as I was walking out that my wife was a band nerd in high school. So I grabbed
He's
her flute.
Brought a flute.
So I got a flute.
Do you have any idea?
Well, she gave me like a 30-second lesson, and it's super difficult.
Okay, but hold on. Okay. You have the ability to play bass,
uh-huh.
guitar.
Correct.
And what other instruments?
That's about it. I tried violin one time. That was awesome. Banjo.
Banjo.
Yeah, I was good at banjo.
But no woodwind, brass wind?
No. But I know musical theory.
Okay.
And this is going to sound
right.
really good.
Okay.
Okay? And again, this is my first time. Bear with me if I'm a little pitchy.
Okay. When people let you know don't and your treasured friendships tune in. That was great.
Went pretty good.
That was really great.
And this, I did have a flute. I was just not here blowing into the mic.
Can you make a note?
No. If I sat here for about an hour.
Should you blow across it? Are you blowing down over it?
Let's not. No, you're supposed to. I don't know. Let's not. We're done.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we'd be here all day, and we're not going to get 1 ounce of flute noise out of there.
That was fantastic. So what a lovely. Now, could she play it for us?
Oh, I know why. I left the thing in it. There's like a spit cleaner.
Up. Now try.
All right. Well, I'm gonna put it back together. Up there.
There was a huge snake inside.
Yeah! All right, we'll save it to the end. All right.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Good start.
Hey, welcome to the program. So, do you want to explain?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Josh Fligger is here. I'm Andy Chanley. Welcome to Your Artificial Friends. Larry Morgan. I just swallowed something. Swallowed a bug. Larry Morgan.
I heard it.
Did you hear it?
Yeah. You're like, I said,
we haven't had any alcohol yet. Larry Morgan and Sam Farmer are on assignment, and sad for them because.
Oh, it's that time of day.
It's
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
This is perfect.
This is amazing.
Okay, so
before
we do this, this is when I gave a shout out to you people listening to send us beer recommendations. This is our very first listener beer recommendation.
Oh, this is amazing.
This is Dragon's Milk from New Holland Brewery from listener Chris Romer. I hope I'm saying his last name right. But I have a couple other ones too.
How do you spell his name?
Romer. Romer, right?
It would have to be Romer.
And I have a couple more, so keep sending them in, and we'll keep drinking them.
I need to explain this beer, though, before we get into it, and a disclaimer for what may come in the next hour. it's called New Holland Brewing Dragon's Milk. I did it again. Bourbon I don't know, weird mouth noises. Bourbon barrel aged stout. So barrels that they make bourbon in.
Yeah.
They then took and they aged this.
Oh, okay.
And
what is a stout? Is it just is it like a
what makes a stout?
Yeah, what's the definition of a stout?
I don't know the recipe for a stout, but
it's generally a dark, thicker beer.
It's a dark beer, yeah.
Right.
I don't know what they add. Maybe that's the secret. Maybe they
I probably have
to toast the barrels or something.
Well, I think the darkness comes from like the wort, the wheat.
The wort.
The wort. W-O-R-T, that's what it's called, wort. But it's like that. The mash. It's like the barley and all that stuff. So maybe it's like a wheat. I don't know. Whatever. I'm just talking on my ass.
Yeah. I don't know. anyway, it says alcohol by volume, 11%.
This is the highest one. So is it?
This 11%. Okay, so a Pilsner that you'd buy will be 5. This is well
over. We don't know the alcohol contact of that content of the rancid beer that we had. That could be 30 proof.
Don't remind me of that. Anyway, did you try this yet?
No, I'm waiting for you.
I hear it. Cheers. Sláinte.
Cilantro. Oh.
It's very tasty.
It's not as, and it's, I really like this. It's not as thick and heavy as I thought it would be. You know what I mean? It's got a little bite back to
That's
it.
That's what she said.
Nice. You can actually taste the alcohol.
Yeah, no, this is, oh, you certainly can. You know that first alcoholic beverage that you have and how you kind of feel a layer of cells burning off the top of your brain?
Tuesday morning. Yeah. Yeah. I know you're talking. right before I go to work. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I just felt that. Mm. Okay. So welcome to the program. And it is being recorded here on St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing the fife. What's the difference between a fife and a flute?
I think, is the fife just have like the holes? You know, like it's more,
oh,
you know what I mean? You just put
right.
your fingers over the holes where this actually has keys.
Right.
But I don't know.
Huh.
Maybe it's a military thing.
Well, anyway, thanks for bringing it. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for letting me explore my craft.
Yeah, and try to play it with a snake inside it.
With a gigantic spit cleaner inside.
Oh, my God. By the way, you should see this thing. We should take a picture of the
flute?
The cleaner. It's about an inch thick...
Cloth.
Pipe cleaner. Yeah. It's well, actually, it looks like
it's like one of those duster, like a chamois duster thing.
It looks like a small version of when you open up like one of those Pringles cans and the snakes come out.
Oh yeah, I was thinking more of like a tiny version of that big thing in the car wash that does.
Oh,
you know what I mean? That big foam thing.
Lara was complaining that the sink was in the bathroom was draining slowly, and it was ridiculous. So she reminded me a couple of times, and she finally says, do we have to call a plumber? Should I just call a plumber and get it done with? I'm like, no, I'll do it. I just need a little time.
I'm just tired.
I'm a busy man. And so finally on, what day of this week was it? Monday or Tuesday, I guess. I have to take apart the P-trap because I put in a new stopper in there. And it's one of those you just push down, you know, like a pin.
Like it clicks.
Yeah, it clicks down and it clicks back up. Yep. So you can't take that apart and reach down in there with a thing. You've got to take apart the trap. I took apart the trap. I should show you a picture.
Is this good?
I need to show you a picture. By the way, a new headshot. What do you think?
Nice. Looks good.
It's searing. That's cold. That's blue steel.
You're looking right through me.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
I feel like you're undressing me with your eyes.
I kind of look like Mel Gibson in that picture. It's really, really worrisome.
You look like Mel Sharples.
All right, you ready for this?
Yeah. Is that?
There's one with the flash. There's one with the flash.
I don't want to see it.
I pulled the pipe down off the bottom of the sink, and it was a perfect shape of the pipe of this hair.
You know what
animal.
It is? I thought of it's that. It's that red thing that chases Bugs Bunny around. The red, except it's like black and gray and sad.
Where was that red thing from?
Was he like one of the Mars guys, or is he a monster?
Or was he a
monster.
Yeti or something?
I think he was just like a monster inside a castle or something. But I love that guy. He wore like tennis shoes too. He had no arms. He was a big red like heart with.
He had big shoulders.
Yeah,
like that.
And he just had no arms. And he had tennis shoes. And he was really pissed all the time.
That's fun.
I
wanted to ask you.
Yeah,
I have to ask you because I know that the people were hanging on every moment of the last few minutes of the last edition of the podcast, where you were going home to create some culinary wonders. You were going home to do a version of it was the waffle maker with the were you doing a cauliflower crust?
It was zucchini
crust with cheese and a little egg and that, and then you were toying with. I threw out the idea of, well, why couldn't you put pastrami on?
Right.
tell me, and please don't disappoint me. How things turned out.
First of all, let me just say, my thinking was, let's get this right the first time and then start toying around with ideas. Then, so I was like, let's back off the pastrami. Let's just see if we can get this to be. It was awesome. It was really good. I took like zucchini and an egg, and I think there was like
Zucchini noodles.
No, you shredded zucchini, and then I think I took an egg and some fresh grated Parmesan cheese, salt and pepper, and cornstarch and some cornstarch, and then I mixed all that crap together, and then threw it in a small little waffle iron, crusted those up, got them real good, took it out, made like four of those, took it out, then put one back in. Covered it in cheese and put one on top of that, and then re-toasted them, and I dipped it in broccoli and cheddar soup. Oh,
wow!
And I guarantee next time I'm either doing pastrami or crumbled bacon. But yeah, it's a go. It's a keeper. It's a keeper. I got a big 5-pound corned beef cabbage going. I'm gonna do it tomorrow though. You doing any corned beef cabbage?
No. This is a vegetarian house.
You can do like soy.
We can do cabbage.
Soy beef and cabbage.
Yeah. We're kind of off the soy as much as possible.
Yeah.
Here.
Why?
Because I don't want to grow boobs.
Yeah, that's right. Soy tits. I forgot about those.
Soy tits.
I forgot you could get those. Well, hey, I last time we did a podcast, when we were done, I remembered this and I was like, I was pissed that I didn't bring it up, but I want to bring it up now. So. Two things. I saw a commercial with a guy sniffing a pineapple. And I went crazy. I was like, look, he's sniffing a pineapple. It has to validate something,
this
right?
This was how many weeks ago? A couple of months ago. You being told by your wife?
Yes.
Cindy tells Josh that if you smell a pineapple, you can tell if it
smells sweet, then it's ripe.
Then it's ripe. And then we also talked about the fact that pineapples are not a single fruit.
It's
a cluster of berries that grows together.
Okay, so that's the second thing.
Okay.
So then a couple weeks ago, I'm talking to I FaceTime with my parents like once a week every Sunday, so, you know, because they're back east. And I don't know why the topic comes on pineapples again. And I'm like, and my dad goes, you know, those plants only grow, like, only bear fruit, like, every 3 years or something like that. And I go, yeah. And I'm like, they have a big, like, ranch out in Hawaii. And he goes, yeah, the Dole Ranch or whatever.
Yeah,
and he goes,
plantation.
And they have, like, separate fields that they rotate every year for that year's stock. And he goes, and the funny part is, everybody on the island knows that the people that go in there are tourists, so they like rob all their cars.
Yeah.
So I start laughing, and he goes, yeah, you know what else? I heard the people that work there are real assholes. And I'm like, where'd you hear that from? He goes, I heard it on some show or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, your artificial friend, dumbass. So he was sitting there telling me a story that I actually lived through, and he had no idea. It was hilarious.
That's amazing.
We laughed hard over that one. He's like, you're right. It was from your show.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, good God. There was some other email that I was supposed to get to. Some listener feedback. And by the way, feel free to respond on Your Artificial Friends on Facebook and share thoughts about these beers, about the stories we tell. Tell us why we're stupid idiots and liars. Anything like that.
Were you going to comment on the post when you posted the picture of your back for Mark?
Somebody said?
Somebody go ahead. You
want to
say it?
So Mark Thompson.
I laughed so hard when I saw that post.
Mark Thompson. I'll show you the original picture off my phone. It was hysterical. Mark Thompson was on, from Mark in the Morning and Mark and Brian, was on this podcast sitting exactly where you're sitting, Josh, just a couple
Did
weeks
ago. Did he use ago. My
headphones? He might have.
Now they're priceless.
They're hallowed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We got to auction those off. Anyway, so leading up to it, I'm like, well, we should whet people's appetites for this because you know what a huge following he has on the Mark and Linda podcast, folks,
right.
and people that, you know, used to listen to The Sound and Mark and Brian. So we decide that it was Larry and I doing the interview. So Larry Morgan posts a picture of his back.
Right.
Like, just like the Mark is back.
Right. That, which was the kind of
the campaign,
thing, the campaign for when he came back to the Sound.
Yeah. Yeah. So the campaign was a cutout of his back.
Right.
That was on billboards and stuff and on those stickers and everything. So he takes a picture of his back and it just said, he's back. Noon Saturday, on whatever the date was. And so then the next day I did the same thing and did a picture of my back. And then the third day I took a picture of my puppet from the Mark in the Morning and, you know, did, you know, he's back and so forth. The second one, the picture of me, I forget who it was supposed to, said, yeah. Nice attempt at a Photoshop on the back of your head.
On your bald spot.
You know, we're all losing it on your bald spot. And I'm like, what? And I look at it, and I'm like, I mean, it's a little out of focus. It's soft focus.
I can see what...
I guess I could see what he was saying. How you could imagine it. But
right.
Here's my phone.
But it doesn't look bald. It just looks like a really bad Photoshop, but it's real.
And I mean, make no mistake, my hair is thinning. And I'm losing it, but look, here's the original picture. Those are the two original pictures. You see they're live, right? On the iPhone.
Right.
If I zoom in here, yeah, I guess it's a soft focus a little bit.
Right, it just looks like you clicked and dragged some, you know what I mean? Like, it was so funny. Like, I wish you could read verbatim what he said or something like, nice Photoshop job.
I wish I could find
it. We're all going a little bit bald or something like that.
I wish I could find it now.
I remember seeing that. I was on my couch, and I honestly laughed out loud. My wife was like, what is wrong with you? And I showed it in the post.
But, you know, I've got it's thin back there for sure. But I was like, no, not exactly. Oh, here we go. Here we go. I found it. It was six comments on this. David Headwell. David Headwell. Thank you, David. He says, love the Photoshop on the crown of his head. Don't worry. I've been there and done that, smiley face. I'm like, nope, that's 100% authentic bedhead. He said, actually, David comes back. I didn't see this. He comes back and says, I stand corrected. Thank you. Well, there you go. He's smart. But can I just, the big takeaway from this?
Uh-huh.
My ass looks great in that picture. I mean, look at that.
I can't really see it.
You could throw a quarter at that and two dimes in a nickel. Oh,
you know what we forgot to talk about?
What?
All right, so I get here, first thing, people, I get here first thing, and I walk into Andy's back door, and, you know, the kids are running around, they're screaming, and I look on the kitchen table, and Andy is sitting there wrapping a gift, and he... crafted such an amazing rap job.
I am a rapping fool.
I don't have the patience. I'm like, give me the scissors. Let's get this. I wrapped all Ellen's presents this year, and I did it in like 30 minutes.
One piece of tape.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, all the lines were parallel. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah. I take great pride in it.
I could tell.
I am anal to the nth. Stuff like that, yeah. I aesthetics are important to me.
But why is that important? Because you're just shredding it apart.
Looking at the back of my head on a picture like this, it doesn't seem like aesthetics are important. But they are. It's incredibly important. Like letters. I like industrial-looking, modern-looking, but not necessarily modern, but industrial-looking design. So, like, if I were to design my dream house, like, if I won Powerball and I could go up in the Hollywood Hills and build, without budgetary concern, any house I want,
right.
I would build a huge concrete house. A concrete house, you know, with walls that are a foot thick that would be impervious to any kind of fire, any kind of brush fire. But on the inside, it would be, you know, exposed wood beams.
Right. And that kind of thing. I love that.
And then, like, even a fireplace, if you're permitted to build one, you have to, I don't think you're allowed to build new fireplaces.
Really?
New chimneys in LA. Yeah. But if, like, we went onto a site where there was already a house, there was a shanty, and, like, so many are.
Tear everything down except for the chimney.
Yes, that's what they do. They tear everything down except for the chimney, and they build around that.
Chimney in Western Pennsylvania.
Let me guess.
You're never going to guess.
Chimbley?
Yeah, you got it. Chimbley. But yeah.
But I would build that, even the fireplace, I would make, you know, squared off and cement. And then.
Do you like those fireplaces that are like in between rooms? Like a see-through fireplaces?
I mean, if you're going to do gas, yeah.
I mean, I think you got to do it right, but yeah. Sometimes those can look pretty tacky.
But I saw, it wasn't Frank Lloyd Wright. I'm trying to think of the designer that did a house, and I saw it like 10 years ago. There was this house, and I think it's somewhere in the Hollywood Hills where it's built like I just described. It's concrete.
Yeah.
But, and the lines are all very smooth and angular, and you know, it's box-like, but it's warmed up by these timbers.
The interior.
In the interior. And another thing that I would do is paint with, they've got this, and I may be talking about my ass once I find out, you know, what these materials are really like, but they have clay paint. And so the
like
paint.
Spackle.
Kind of, yeah. So you'll paint with this, you paint the walls, whatever color
with
you
a
want,
knife.
with a paint, and it would look just like a, you know, a regular painted wall. But because it's clay, when it's really humid, the clay will absorb some of the humidity and dehumidify. And when it's dry in the house, that humidity that's in the clay will be drawn out into the room. So it kind of evens out the humidity.
The only thing that worries me about something like that is the long term, how long that's going to last.
Well, yeah, I mean, how long does paint last in general?
Well, but it's not paint, it's clay. You know, and then all that contracting and expanding on my wall, I have a feeling that would...
Well, it's porous is the thing. And so it just, you know, it absorbs it and you know, just like regular concrete
right.
would do. But anyway, that's a dream. So I love, getting back to the original point, I love clean lines and kind of an industrial look to things. Lara can get behind that dream because she likes the exposed wood and
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
That's what I'm more into. I like really nice, clean hardwood floors and exposed beams and stuff like that. And like cathedral.
Yeah,
like
really
big
high vaulted stuff.
Those are awesome.
And I would do wood floors, but do the radiated heat in the floor.
Yeah.
Oh my God, have you been in places where they have that? It's so nice.
You know what?
Nice.
I think I have been in one of those places.
You walk into a bathroom that has a heated floor, it's a different world. You're like, I'm in heaven.
Yeah, I just want a bathroom with two sinks.
And Cindy wants a bathroom where the paper towel holder, or
the toilet paper holder that you can't see from
can't
the
see
outside.
Anyway, let me see my envelopes.
What are you doing with what's on?
Like these are my envelopes. If I was going to send you a letter, it would be in one of these. It's a craft paper, you know, brown paper envelope, and has the, you know, the opening on the end like that. So it's like a.
The same. Like just so everybody's listening, it's like the same color as like a grocery store bag.
Yeah,
like a paper bag.
And I have a stamp to print round stamp for my return address. And then, you know, I take great pride in my penmanship, my printing, and so forth.
Do you know what my parents had that I still can't believe that they had to this day? And I think they probably used at one point in time, is they had the wax sealer.
Yeah.
The Crest or something where you drip the wax on the envelope and then it was like
stamp
a stamp.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When would you use that?
In case you wanted to write somebody that's on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I was going to say. I remember finding it. Like, why do you have this? And my mom explained it to me. I was like, this is really cool. We'll never use this
again. I bet the post office hates that shit.
Oh, it's got to be illegal now.
It gummed up so many sorting machines. But I love... the presentation of that kind of stuff. I love neat things. And excuse me, you saw it when I would go out at the sound or whatever and sign things.
I still have one.
I like for my, you know, that you can read the penmanship on. You know, you can read what I wrote, and you can't really read. It looks like Arlie Clayley. But I got the stamp made so that I can stamp
your signature.
Stamp my signature.
So all you people that think you have like a valuable item out there.
Well, no. But People will know that they came in contact with me if it has that authentic stamp.
Well, there was that. Anybody, there was that one time you put me in a room with the stamp and made me stamp. All right. Hey, do you know how they have a machine to forge signatures that, but it actually uses like a pen. Like they have a machine where you like actually sign your name, right?
Right.
And then it will take your pen strokes.
Well, let me change
and sign pictures so they can forge photos that look exactly like your signature, but it's actually a machine that's signing it.
Well, I would change the terminology.
What?
Forge or
duplicate.
Yeah. Because it's not a forgery. Yeah. It's not done for.
Well, if it's a forgery, if I'm selling the photo.
But what if I authorize it?
Then it's an authorized forgery.
What if I...
You agree that this is forged.
What if I get one of those things, you know those reticulating arms that you can put a pen in each one?
Right.
And I draw it, and it's drawn in each one of them. This
like
little accordion.
Like a spirograph thing.
Then yeah. It's still mine. Well, didn't a couple NFL players a year
or
so
ago to see you do that.
Get caught up in a fake thing where, like, you know, there wasn't really a jersey they wore or a helmet that they ever even saw?
I don't know. Did you see what happened in college basketball yesterday?
No.
A number 16 finally
being
number one.
Yes. What, Vanderbilt? No.
Virginia.
It was a V.
Like University of Maryland, Baltimore
I have not watched any.
No, either of I only saw it on a... Because of Facebook.
It's the first time that's ever happened, right?
In like 100 and, I don't know, we're 100 and some games, and there's four of those every year, so it's not like you have 10 of those every year. You only get four every year, and there was like, it's over 100 of those games that finally happened.
Wow.
And not only was it a 16 beating a number one, it was a 16 beating the overall number one.
The favorite.
The number one team in the nation.
How many people lost money on that?
And how, like, just all those brackets are just all screwed up now.
There's got to be a story somewhere today of somebody who bet on that team. To win.
I think Little Caesars like put a tweet out, says if a 16 team beats a number one team, we'll give you away free lunch.
Really?
Yeah, and they have to give away like free lunch to everybody at some point.
Too bad it's not crappy food.
But yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. They beat them by 20 too. They spanked them.
God. What is it? They were just looking past it and they didn't
I don't
care.
Know, man. I college basketball's harder for me to watch now. I used to really like the tournament.
Why is that?
I don't know. They started. It's. They literally have diluted so much. 64 teams, and I was like, "That's enough." Then all of a sudden, they had these play-in games, and it's like, "When's it end?" Well, let's move to 128 teams, and now it's just like, if it's 64 teams, why are you playing a regular season? Right?
Right?
You play like 20 some basketball games. And it's just
how many? How many rounds is that?
Well, they get the play-in, so that's 16, one round.
8, 4, 2. So there's six rounds in the tourney, right? To the championship?
Yeah, well, the first week they play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then the Sweet 16.
You get down to 32, down to 16, down to 8, down to 4, down to 2.
Yeah.
And so there's five, right?
Well, the play-in round. Are you talking about the play-in round, too? That stupid round that they play like on a
ridiculous.
Tuesday?
It's ridiculous.
It's like Austin, PA versus...
Well, I mean... On the other hand,
and then it doesn't even make sense because they do the playing game will be like a 5 seed versus a 10 seed. It's like, why don't you just get two shitty 16 seeds and let them play to be the last team in?
On the other hand, the NCAA selection committee and the coaches polls and all that shit is kind of taken out of the equation when you let them go to the court and let these people decide it on the court who can beat who.
Right, but I mean, is that ranking, that really even matter? Because it's 64 teams. The ranking's only 25. Okay, so what about the other 41 teams?
Well, there are many of those are receiving votes, you know, even though
they didn't think, because at the bottom of that list, they'll put others receiving votes.
Yeah, and
it's
how
only
many
it's only like 8 or 10, so there's 35 teams right there.
Yeah, I guess.
But that's, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't. It's.
I had always kind of felt like the NFL was more enjoyable to watch football-wise for
me. Absolutely.
Because the athletic level
right,
is so high.
Right.
I mean, if you make it to the field in the NFL, you are you're one of the world's greatest athletes. Mm-hmm. You're one of the 1,400 greatest athletes in the world to be able to do that, and that was, you know, standing the politics and the horseshit of the NFL. I won't go down that road. But conversely, for basketball, if you see me at a pro basketball game, it's because someone gave me some tickets.
But you know what? Those guys are pretty big. Those guys are pretty good athletes.
They're great. They're great athletes.
I mean,
but
it's hard. It's comparing apples and oranges because, I mean, NBA, you're basically just fucking running up and down a court for 12-minute quarters? So 48 minutes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, sprinting, not running up. Football, you sprint for 5 seconds, walk back to the huddle.
Yeah.
And plus, guess what? When the defense is on the field, you're not on the field.
But even that's not fair because, for example, the play will last typically, unless it's a 100-yard run, the play will last maybe 10 seconds.
I don't even think less than that.
You know, by the time they drop back, throw a pass, right, pass is caught, maybe 10 seconds.
And that's like the longest play.
But those offensive linemen and defensive linemen, they're in their stance, basically doing yoga for three times that, every single play. And they're the biggest guys on the field. They're working their asses off. Lara used to say, you know, these big, fat guys, you know, how can they're called athletes? They are, A, sumo strong.
Right.
And, B, they are holding their position before the ball is snapped for so long that by the time they're sweating bullets the entire time. It's a lot of exertion.
Right. I guess it's just different type of athleticism in both aspects, where I look at, like, basketball. Those guys are just running and running and running, and then they got to jump and dribble and shoot and jump, and there's literally no stop. Like, your stop is when you're back playing on defense and, like, gently running. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where football, you get breaks. You get to come off the field and take a break. You get breaks in between plays, stuff
like
that.
Yeah.
So it's like concentrated, you know,
there are
physicality.
No, there are not many round mounds of rebound in basketball.
Right,
there's a reason why,
right,
you know,
right,
that yeah, body type.
There's a reason why you don't see Shaq Fu on a breakaway.
Exactly.
See him sprinting down the court and dunking.
And then for baseball, holy God. I just,
you know what, though, baseball, here's the thing with baseball. That baseball is like golf. That's skill. You know what I mean? That's repetition.
It is.
And skill and eye-hand coordination.
Yes.
So
and strategy.
Yes, but I'm saying it's not, there's a little bit of less athleticism. Although, you know, there is the part of stealing bases and being a fast outfielder and being able to take a, you know, 130 mile per hour line drive that skips off a rock and catch it and turn a double play. That stuff like that's pretty intense.
Yeah. When the moment comes, being prepared for a highly stressful moment. Yes, they're in highly athletic, demand. Totally. But I think I would almost rather watch a T-ball game.
Yeah.
You know, for the entertainment value.
Playoff baseball is good.
Playoff baseball is amazing.
Because it's really it's the most tense and stressful.
It's amazing. Watching the Dodgers and
you have to have a rooting interest when it comes to baseball. You can't just be like, hey, let's go see Tampa Bay play Toronto. I'd be like, why?
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather just stay home and play Pac-Man. here's a curveball. Is it possible?
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah, see? Look at what I did. I didn't realize I did that.
That was good.
Is it possible maybe hockey players might be the best athletes?
I don't know about that, but I know that they've got the hottest wives.
Well, let's think about it. They only play in like a minute and a half shifts because it's so tiring that they can't play that long. They have to take breaks. They're playing on a surface that is the equivalent of concrete. So when those guys fall down, it's not like they're falling on grass. And I don't see basketball players going sliding across, getting their face smashed into boards.
Hockey players, I know very little about hockey because it's stultifyingly boring.
It's awesome. It's so good.
What's that Tragically Hip song? I can't remember the name of it. One of the lyrics is, "You said you didn't give a fuck about hockey. Never heard anybody say that before." I just love it. But they wear pads on their hips and legs, right? And everything, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, all the players do.
Yeah, but I mean,
because of the spills they'll take.
Well, it's more for
the shoulder pads, of course. And
the shoulder pads are like a quarterback's shoulder pads are bigger than hockey shoulder pads.
Yes, but they're enough to they absorb some of the shock of getting thrown into the glass.
Right, but that's not the part that hurts. The part that hurts is getting hit in the ribs with a 135 mile per hour vulcanized rubber disc.
Well, but it rarely leaves the ground.
What are you talking about?
Does it? You get hit with the...
See, this is an example of you not watching enough hockey to know those guys. First of all, they'll skate at the puck, and when the guys wind up to shoot, lay down sideways.
Well, yeah.
It's suicidal.
That's suicidal.
And they don't even have face masks, and they're like, "I'm going to block this comet, this rock comet with my ribs."
And that is why hockey players have no teeth.
Exactly. But, I mean, hockey's, you have to be a special, special person.
You have to be a particular kind of crazy.
Yeah.
To want to play it.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I've got friends that do, and friends that let their kids play it, and they love it. And I'm sure there are safeguards in place for younger players, mm-hmm, that, you know, limit some of that.
Yeah, I think like in the little leagues, like there's no checking,
yeah,
and stuff like that, and
whatever the fuck that means.
That means you're not allowed to like just crush somebody. You have to play the puck. You can bump into somebody. You can play the puck. You can't. Yeah.
Did you like when Fox lit up the puck?
I thought I was the only one who remembered that. I hated that.
Did you?
It looked so stupid.
It was like
I brought that up somewhere the other day.
Pong.
I brought that up somewhere the other day, and somebody was like, "What are you talking about?" I'm like, "You don't remember when that one year they had like the laser puck?"
Was it red or orange or what was it?
It was no, it was like
yellow.
It was no, there was like a glow around the puck, right? But when it reached over like 100 miles per hour, it turned into like a red laser beam.
Oh.
So when they did like slap shots, you'd see this red line shoot across the screen.
Great.
I was like, "What is this? PlayStation? This is stupid."
Great.
I remember that.
Some of that I like the instant replay and getting plays right, like in the NFL, to get it absolutely right. Do whatever you fucking have to do to get it right. Don't slow the game down so far that but
are we getting to the point in the NFL though where the rules are ruining the game?
Well,
because nobody has a clear definition. Everything is so micro.
What's a catch?
Exactly.
And you're sitting there like, the Super Bowl.
If that was in my backyard, I'd be a touchdown. You know what I mean? I don't understand why that's not a catch. I don't get it. I don't.
Yeah.
It's micromanagement to a point where every single definition in the rule is. Every single word, it's like, what does that mean?
Right.
What does football move mean?
And they're parsing those words when they look under the hood and they're trying to figure out, you know, did he make a football move?
Yes.
And whatever that means.
Was he a runner or a receiver at this point in time?
Right.
And it's
right.
just like, who gives a shit? He has the ball. He's across the goal line. It's a touchdown.
Right.
I don't understand.
Yeah. It is crazy. But if they can determine what a touchdown is and what a catch is, I want every play to be definitive as much as possible. I want them to review everything.
Yeah, I don't mind. Well, here I got a question for you. Do you think in the current state of just football that it's going to be – it'll be around, but do you think it's going to be as big as it is in 20 years from now?
No.
I don't think it will be either.
I don't think it will be. I think it reached its zenith.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, it could still be going up a little bit more, but I think we are at the aopsis, what is that?
The apogee?
No, the aopsis is like the highest point of an orbit.
I thought that was the apogee. Aopsis?
No, A-O-P-S-I-S, and then the periapsis is the lowest point in an orbit.
I thought it was an apogee and perigee.
Uh-oh.
I'll have aopsis. To look up, now I'm going to look at your opsis words.
A-O-P-S-I-S.
I just learned a word.
Aopsis and periapsis. Like when you, like.
I understand.
Like an orbit, like a space station, like when its highest point is the aopsis.
I've just never heard the term.
Comes around to the other side, and its lowest point is the periapsis.
No, I love it.
Yeah. All right, cool. So do you think the NFL is at its aopsis?
No, I think if that is a word. I think that...
Hey, Aaron, put the definition of aopsis on our Facebook for us, please.
I'll send a picture of an aopsis from my last colonoscopy. So you can check it out. I think that the NFL reached its zenith. It's
you blew it.
Acme.
Perfect opportunity.
It's
to use your new word.
Apogee. It's climax.
Apogee sounds like a 90s like Blink 182 band. Go ahead.
Anyway, I think it got to the highest point when with the confluence of the game, fantasy football, and the internet all came together in the early 2000s, or the mid-2000s, because then you had so many people. There were 100 million people playing fantasy football, and there probably still are. And now that's why when you turn on the NFL Network or ESPN during the NFL season, there are 3, 4, 5 different shows that are just about fantasy football. And there's the Fantasy Zone on DirecTV and that kind of thing. So they focus, they cater to that, and now they're also trying to push the game to London and Mexico City and so forth.
They're diluting the product.
I think that it reached. Well, here's that notwithstanding, they have such a black eye, no pun intended, for the national anthem stuff. Because
See, I don't even think it's any of this.
It has a lot to do.
Well, Colin, what about
my friends, my black friends that I play fantasy football with? They have quit over, and they refuse to give another penny to the NFL as long as the owners are all in lockstep to close out Colin Kaepernick and other quote unquote troublemakers who stand up for what they believe is injustice around the world. Now, you know, Muhammad Ali spouted off about anything that he wanted because he played an individual sport.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. He can do whatever he wants.
Right.
But you play a sport where you are somehow beholden to an owner who's trying to, or a coach who's trying to keep everything together and keep order, then you have people that...
Here's the thing. Okay, first of all, let's just get this caveat out of the way. I'm not saying I disagree with Colin Kaepernick in any aspect, okay? This isn't I disagree with what he did. I'm just saying that maybe maybe as an owner or a general manager, you're looking at this player and you're thinking, is this drama...
No, I want the baggage.
Because guess what? He's not a starting quarterback.
Well,
I guess for some teams he could.
He was. And he's better than many starting quarterbacks in the league last year.
True.
And he could have competed at that level and
Okay.
Beyond.
Do you think he is a second tier quarterback?
He is.
I don't even think he's second tier. I think he's bottom of the barrel starter.
I think looking at the starters in the league last year. I would put Colin Kaepernick
is in the
at about
bottom five.
20th.
No.
Yeah. 20,
you're saying there's 12 worst quarterbacks?
20 to 25.
I challenge you to name 12 worst. Go.
That started last year?
Yeah.
As far as
they can't play for Cleveland because that's like seven.
Okay.
Right there.
Well, performance wise, Jay Cutler is in there. He's at the back end of his.
He's 140.
I've got to get out a list of all.
Never mind. Let's not do that.
But
my point is.
Cleveland. There are plenty of starters in the league that were not performing up to a certain level, and when there were injuries and there were openings that came around, he was not invited to even try out because people thought that rich white men thought that he would bring baggage that they didn't want to have at their games.
Exactly, and the point is. Is that's also a team that's spreads like a virus through a team. So if your team is so desperate that they want Colin Kaepernick, who we've just decided is a bottom third starting quarterback, if he's going to make your team better, then your team's not really that good anyway. And is it worth bringing that drama ended the situation now. So now I got a shitty team, and now I got people going crazy because I got Colin Kaepernick on my team. Is it worth it?
Well, here's the thing. It's not just him. It's hundreds of other players who are taking the same stance.
Right, but he's the poster boy of it all.
He is.
And I'm certainly not saying that I don't disagree with
him. There are ones who are in the league already who are playing, and I think
well, what's happening with isn't there a safety right now? There's a safety that's a free agent, and he's the best free safety. I think he's a free safety in the league that is, you know, available, and he hasn't been contacted by anybody because he knelt down with Kaepernick.
And here's the thing.
He's claiming the same thing.
What's funny is when Beast Mode,
Marshawn Lynch,
he was having his best seasons, like the last couple of seasons when he was in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Do you know he was kneeling 2 years before Colin Kaepernick did?
Yeah.
And nobody cared about it because he was,
you know why he's
he was
awesome.
Killing it?
You know why he's awesome? Last year when he got thrown out of a football game, uh-huh. He put a ski mask on and went up in the stands and watched the rest of the game with the fans and drank beer. He got thrown out like in the first quarter, and he was by halftime he was already like in a Raiders jacket, a ski mask, drinking beer with all the other
fans. You ever drink beer through a ski mask? It gets wet around the mouth. What must you smell like after you've been day drinking with a ski mask for an hour or two? That's awesome.
I got something I want to bring up.
All right.
Guess what I'm doing tomorrow?
What?
All right, let me just tell you the story. So Thursday morning, I wake up and I'm taking a crap, and I get a text. I get a text from Mikey. You're the old
Mike.
Yeah,
Mike Sherry.
Yeah, Mikey,
producer.
And,
Mike.
Oh yeah, taught me off a little more beer. And he texts me and he sends me this link to a Civil War battle reenactment.
What?
Wait. That's going on today and tomorrow, and says, do you want to go? So I open up the link and I'm looking at it.
Where?
It's in Moore Park. So I'm looking at it.
Wow.
And I close it and I'm like, I say, yeah, let me talk to my wife.
Is it the reenactment of the Battle of Moore Park?
No. The Battle of Hawaiian Gardens. So I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, let me see what the schedule. Like, I don't know anything about these events, what happens. So I go and I search for it. I Google like Moore Park Civil War reenactment, and I find a website, right?
Yeah.
And the first thing says, okay, there's basically it's 2 days, and there's two like reenactment battles of during the day, and they like reenact various phases of famous battles, not like the whole battle. You're not going to see him fight Gettysburg for two and a half days. You know what I mean? It's just,
right.
But this one's going to do reenact Pickett's Charge, which I thought was hilarious because how are you going to get 12,000 guys run across the field riddled with artillery shells, and how are you going to do that in Moore Park? But it's probably going to be like eight guys running against four guys. Anyway, so then I'm looking at it, and it has a list of like participants, right?
Uh-huh.
And one of them, I forget the guy's name, but it was the actor who played John Kreese, who was the guy that ran the Cobra Kai dojo in Karate Kid.
No.
And I'm like, holy shit, I can go see a Civil War reenactment with the Karate Kid, with the leader of the Cobra Kai. Then I go back, and it says at 12:45, there is a, you can participate in the firing of a 12-pound cannon. And I'm like, what? I'm like, this is a wet dream. So I go nuts. And I'm
now,
like,
now hold on. How big is the? I'm guessing that a 12-pound cannonball is only like 3.5-4 inches big, wide in diameter.
Well, they had different one. It's like a softball.
Yeah, like 4 inches wide. Right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But they had shells too. Anyway, where they put fuses inside of them. Do you know that?
No.
All right, let's talk Civil War artillery. All right, so they had three different things. They fired canister, which was coffee cans full of nails and rocks, and
sure,
you know, and shrapnel. That was for just shrapnel. And that was like a shotgun. Then they had shell, which was a cannonball, but it was hollowed out and filled with gunpowder, and then there was a fuse in it. So when it shot, it lit the fuse. They I don't know how they did it, but they could time it to be like set the fuse at 400 yards so that it would shoot, and they would shoot above the rank moving towards them, and it would explode on top of them and shoot fragments down.
Of lead?
Of lead.
Those balls are just made of lead.
The South, they were making it out of everything.
Oh, God.
And then they had regular cannonballs, which they would shoot at the ground and bounce at them. Like a bowling ball, right?
Really?
Yeah. Those things would bounce. Wow. So they would shoot in front of them and bounce it across like they were bowling.
Wow.
And so how they shot these things.
This stuff was gruesome.
Oh, it's just barbarous. Like just, ugh. So what they would do, these guys are nuts. I've always thought these guys are the craziest. You guys are like a bunch of, you'd think they're sissies because they're just hanging out behind them. I'm like, no way. These guys, I'll take infantry any day over these guys. They don't have guns to defend themselves or anything. And everybody's going for the artillery because if they can capture that stuff, they can use it.
Right.
They can turn around and use it and
turn it the other way.
Yeah, and sure. they're highly valuable. It's not like they're mass produced. There's only so many.
Right.
They didn't have
there weren't many foundries making
exactly,
cannons.
Yeah. Especially in the South,
right.
Which was all their artillery was all piecemeal and mismatched, where the Unions was all kind of the same thing. Anyway, what they do is they take this big, kind of like a coffee can of gunpowder that's wrapped kind of in fabric, and they ram it down the barrel of the gun, okay? And there's a little hole in the back where they would ignite it. Then they take the cannonball and stick that down in there, and then they take like a wad of cloth and stick down there, and then the guy comes running up with that tamper, right?
Uh-huh.
And he mashes it all down. Then he runs away. Then the guy goes up and takes a torch, whatever, and hits that to that hole, and that shoots it. Okay, now here's where it gets crazy. Now the next guy has to come up with another pole with a soaking wet rag in it and plunge it down the barrel of the cannon,
right.
Because there could be like embers and stuff going
sure.
down there, and you don't want to take a coffee can of gunpowder,
right.
Jamming it down. Can you imagine? And I'm sure it happened all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's the craziest guy. That guy and the guy that wears the flamethrower tank are the two craziest guys in Army history.
Yeah, and the guy with the fewest hands.
it was like mandatory that they not be married and no kids.
Oh, and think about, this is early days for like revolvers.
Yeah, they didn't have. Well, you know, they did, but
they had a few. But like revolvers and what do you call the
lever action rifles?
Yeah, what are the
Winchesters?
Repeaters. Carbine? No.
A repeating rifle.
What do they call it?
A lever action.
Yeah, but there was a carbine.
Carbine. Yeah.
Is it carbine?
Yeah, I think.
Imagine the ammunition at that point. How you still have hang fires and stuff like that and backfires now.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine then when it's crudely made, homemade.
Well, you know how they loaded the guns.
Hmm.
It was the same thing as
with the muskets.
Yeah,
they would tear.
They had these pre-packaged paper wads that were full of gunpowder, and they'd bite off the top of it and spit it out, then dump the gunpowder down. Well, like after the battle is done, it'd be hundreds of thousands of white pieces of paper floating around everywhere because everybody's loading their guns.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So anyway, the Civil War reenactment. Bad news. I was looking at a wrong website, and the Karate Kid guy won't be there.
Oh God!
But if I have a chance to fight or to shoot a Civil War cannon, it's over. Me, Mikey, and Owen are going.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's
in Moore Park tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow, Saturday. It's going on right now, and they're I guess you go in. Oh, Lincoln's going to do the Gettysburg Address.
Of course he is. At the Battle of Moore Park.
And they have, I guess, like, what they do is they have a battlefield that's just the designated battlefield area. And it's like on a big farm. And then they have two camps. And you can just go walk through. And then they have, like, the people, they have the citizens that would come out and sell stuff to the soldiers there. So you could buy realistic stuff like that. And then they have like different things that
buy yourself a mouth harp.
eat some hardtack.
Oh yeah.
But you know what this could
be?
You know what this could be?
What?
This could be lead this in me into maybe being a Civil War reenactor.
Are you going to take some business cards and look into it?
I'm going to see what.
You know what? I want to know. I have a question for you.
Yeah, sure. I already got an answer. I don't know what you're going to ask.
Are you going to wear the blue or the gray?
All right, here's the deal. I have a feeling that you
nobody
don't get
wants to wear the gray.
That you don't get to choose. I have a feeling the real reenactor is prepared for both roles. Because all the rookies are coming in and be like, I'm not being a Southern guy. And they're like, well, who's going to be the Southern guy? You know, we got 500 Yankees. We only got three Southerners. You know what I mean? So I guarantee that when you sign up, that
you probably have to be a Southerner.
You have to register up as one. And they're like, sorry, we're no longer taking Union soldiers at this time. Feel free to come back as a Confederate. Right? So, but what? My question to you is, what kind of soldier do you think I should be? I was thinking maybe like Southern deserter. like you'd find me after the battle at 7-Eleven eating a Slurpee, you're drinking a Slurpee and having
some red badge of courage.
So eating some hot Cheetos.
Your head bandaged with a big red spot right there. Exactly. Yeah,
you see me running. I'll be the running retriever. there's a clause in my soldier contract that says I will not participate in any charges whatsoever. Anything that involves running.
I think you should be a balloon scout.
Balloon scout. That job will never get you laid. That is that job title will never get you laid whatsoever.
But what about that reenactment? You combine the fun of a balloon race, a hot air balloon race, with a Civil War reenactment.
Balloon scout. They got a special uniform. It's like yellow. Yellow and white. Balloon scout reporting for duty.
Oh, God. Oh, good heavens. I've never said this before. I miss Larry.
I know.
I miss Sam.
I know. I miss
those said that before, but I've never said I miss Larry.
Feels good, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
We got to do it together.
Let me grab my fife.
Hey, how can people get
fitting that we ended Civil War talk right into fife.
Right before the fife. Hey, Barney Fife.
Yes.
How can...
Hold on, I'm warming up. Got it. Okay, I'm ready.
How can people get a hold of you, Josh
Flinger? Hey, shoot me some beer ideas. Shoot me show topics. Call me jerk. I don't care. You can
call him Balloon Scout.
Yeah, Balloon Scout. You can reach me at balloonscout.org.
That's a great name for a band.
Yeah.
Indie band.
Or it Balloon sounds, Scout. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a weird sex position. You know what I mean? I'm like
Balloon Scout. Wow.
Well, what are some of those names? When you do like the... never mind. This is the
deer. What?
Like, what are some of the weird, like, sex position names?
Oh,
Like, what's the... With the mustache or something? Oh, like dirty, Arabian
dirty,
goggles.
Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah, exactly. And like Arabian goggles. Man, I totally want to balloon scout that chick.
No idea what that means. How can they get a hold of you?
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
And for me, it's Andy_Chanley on Twitter. Should I get on? Are you on Instagram?
No.
I'm not either.
Yeah, I'm not
my wife is on Instagram.
I'm not a 14-year-old girl.
My older sisters are on. Everybody is on Instagram, and I'm not.
Did we review this beer?
Oh, this beer's nice.
Yeah. I got a nice little morning buzz.
Yeah. It makes me... It makes me want to laugh and talk about the Civil War.
Yeah, which is always a fun topic.
So what is it? Dragon's Milk.
Dragon's
New
Milk.
Holland Brewing Dragon's Milk. But only have one.
Yeah.
I'd have one.
Yeah.
Very.
Well, it is St. Patrick's Day, so maybe this is the time to have 10.
That's right. Oh, if the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friend. That wasn't right.
Way to screw it up. Let's keep my take. Can we go back and get it?
Yeah, it was me. It was me. Jesus.